From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Welcome back to another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. We've got a pretty big show this week, Sarah. We're going to talk Memorial Championship. We're going to talk Women's Global Event, which is coming back this year on May 9th. Obviously, though, you're out in Nashville. I'm happy that we're able to record this show. I'm glad that you and Sean are okay. I know there were some tornadoes that ran through the city last night. Are you guys doing okay out there?
Yeah. Actually, the suburb that we live in, Mount Juliet, got hit one of the hardest. But we are, like I've mentioned, when we moved out to the country, and we're actually about 6 miles from where it touched down, so the path. And there's quite a few people from our gym and friends of friends that we know that lost their homes. There's tons of businesses, lots of people that still don't have power, so on and so forth. So at this point, they are just trying to keep people off of the road so that emergency vehicles can come through. The death toll actually keeps climbing throughout the day. Yeah. It started out about at about 7 across Tennessee this morning, and now it's up to 25 as we're recording this. So they're still actually searching for people.
Yeah, that's so really sad.
Yeah, it's terrible. But there, if you're interested in donating to some of the relief funds, if you Google Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, they've got a donation place, as well as Middle Tennessee Emergency Response Fund. So those are two places that you can donate. Lots of needy families at this time. We're hoping to do some cleanup whenever they clear volunteers to do that.
Yeah, the first one, you said Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, right?
Yes.
That's just cfmt.org. So hopefully that one's pretty easy to remember. We'll put links in the description of this episode as well, so people can go and donate. I'm glad you and Sean are okay. I'm sorry that that happened. Was this like expected? Were you guys getting warnings for it and stuff, or was it pretty out of the blue?
We did not hear anything. We tracked the weather pretty closely just because we're nerds. And we didn't hear anything last night. We went to bed and there was heavy rainfall, thunder and lightning, but we've gotten rain 3 out of 7 days a week for the past several weeks. So that wasn't really out of the norm. And we didn't know anything happened until we woke up around 6 a.m. and started seeing the news and the tornado alerts. Cause we sleep with our phones on silent.
Sure.
And we didn't really realize the magnitude of what had happened until we woke up. So pretty shocking.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll have links for anyone who wants to donate in the description, and hopefully those communities will be able to be on the mend soon.
Yes.
So Sarah, let's talk Memorial Championship from over the weekend. We had it. It was the first Disc Golf Pro Tour event of 2020. Kind of a runaway on the FPO side, with Paige Pierce throwing all four rounds over four digits, at least as of now. Pretty insane performance. Her total score was, what was her total? Minus 32. 32 yeah. Under par for a 14 stroke victory. I repeat, a 14 stroke victory. That's pretty impressive. Those round ratings, if they hold up, it would obviously be historic. She would be the first woman to ever shoot all four rounds over 1,000 in a tournament. But as always, the caveat, these are unofficial ratings. So we will see what happens when the ratings go live officially next week. And then over on the MPO side, pretty good battle down the stretch. I almost had my pick of Eagle McMahon come through, but instead it was Calvin Heimberg, who is just a putting robot, except for like one hole down the stretch, but just hit some insane putts, flipped the switch after a really early struggle, and ended up coming away with his first Disc Golf Pro Tour victory. So
yeah,
a lot of excitement. Sarah, let's start on the FPO side. What were you, it was the Paige Pierce show,
yes,
right? Is there much more to say?
I think so. Yeah. So the thing that shocked me the most was just looking at the course in general. So we talk about, or we have talked about in the past, you know, the men are winning and their final scores are 30, 40 under par. and you don't always see that on the women's side. And so when you see that the women are playing a course that is kind of comparable to their skill level as compared to the men, and you see, we've had this conversation where we're like, oh no, the women are shooting 25 to 30 under par. That means the course is too easy for them. But the men are allowed to shoot 30 to 40 under par, and that's okay. Double standard in my book. But the crazy thing is, the men and the women played the exact same courses except for four holes.
Okay, I was going to say, they didn't play the exact same. Yeah. But it was pretty close.
Yeah, extremely. I mean, four holes out of 36 holes. So all of that to say that Paige Pierce shot 32 under par on more or less the same courses as the men.
Basically the same layout. Yeah.
So just going to show just how much more impressive that was. It's not like all of these were shortened FPO tees. They were the tees that the men were shooting from as well, for the most part.
32 under par on the MPO side gave you 15th place.
Which is incredible.
And, you know, okay, so shave a couple strokes off of that, right? If you want to go with the, let's say even four different holes, we'll go four strokes just to be generous. That's 19th place.
Yeah, incredible.
Top 20 performance on the MPO side.
Yeah.
Wanted to get real granular about it, you could probably, like, I'm sure there's some formulas we could.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Up, but, yeah. You know, either way, dominant. Very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really just not much more to say. We've talked about this before, that she's one of those people when she starts feeling it. And when she starts, I feel like she really thrives off of the energy that, I don't know. It's just like, she's a performer. So when people are cheering for her and she starts doing really well, she just continues doing really well. And just, it's like she gets up to a peak and just kind of like rides. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm using a lot of hand signals that nobody can see except for you.
That's okay.
But
Sarah's hands were up near her head.
I was above my head. I was like,
she was above her head.
She got this high. She was just doing Paige Pierce things. Like, it's kind of like what we expect from Paige Pierce, but a little bit more.
Her third round at Vista, first round at Vista, third round of the tournament, she shot a 10.57, and that came in like one ratings point worse than the best ever on that SSA, which is how we kind of compare course layouts. She actually owns the record on that SSA. And then I believe it was third all time. And surprisingly, I think she owns the all time as well, like 10.59 on women's. So,
well, you can't be mad at that then.
No, right? Yeah, pretty impressive performance on the whole. You know, besides that, was there one thing that you noticed she was doing well, or was it just kind of everything? Like, did she have to hit any big putts, or was she mostly next to the basket all day?
Well, so especially at Vista del Camino, distance does help.
Right.
Like, people kind of joke and say that this is like the tournament of hyzers. It's just like you're throwing a lot of hyzers. And this kind of leads me into one of my points, is that a lot of these holes are like 340 to 400. And, you know, I would say that I'm a pretty average throwing woman as far as distance goes. And I can throw like maybe 350 on a good day, but then put accuracy into that and wind and out of bounds and some trees here and there. It's probably not going to fly quite that far. But with her distance, I mean, she was able to put herself in the circle, and her putting was super strong. Especially at Vista, it's just fresh in my mind because I just watched, obviously, those rounds a little bit later. A lot of those baskets are elevated. A lot of them are. I didn't realize how many were elevated. And on side hills, so a lot of putts where you're like uphill from the basket and it's just air behind the basket. And if you miss it, you might be going in the water, you might be going out of bounds on a sidewalk, just all sorts of interesting putting greens there. And she, like I said, she was just thriving off of the energy, and just continuing to use the momentum from her great drive to connect on all these huge putts. She was making the jump putts that we have seen from her many times before. It seemed like it was just all around goodness from Paige Pierce.
Yeah, first in birdie percentage, first in fairway hits, first in park shots, first in circle one in regulation, first in circle two in regulation.
Well, there you go. I wasn't even looking at that. Yeah, there you go. The stats don't lie.
Pretty stats don't lie. Two bogeys the final round, bogey free that first round at Vista. Pretty, and she just went on some super hot stretches. So. Yeah. I can't even, there's not even a right word. I was about to say solid performance. That makes it sound super pedestrian, and it was definitely not. So, pretty close to historic performance from Paige Pierce this weekend. Yes. What else you got on the FPO side? Because surprisingly, there were more women there playing other than Paige Pierce.
Quite a few other women there. So because she was just dominating and just like in her own division at this point, it kind of paved the way for some other mini battles, as we like to say. And one of those coming down the stretch was between Jennifer Allen and Hannah Blomroos. They were just going, they're passing strokes back and forth. They talked about how Hannah and Evelina stayed with Jennifer Allen during the week. So, you know, they're super friendly, great sportsmanship between them, it seemed. So it didn't seem like they were testing each other as far as like, you know, super competitive, but they were kind of like, all right, well, if you're going to run that, well, I'm going to lay this up and I'm going to, you know, lay up for my three while you go for this for your two and potentially go out of bounds. So, just kind of, playing off of what each other was doing.
Sure.
I'm not sure if they were checking scores. I would think that they were, just from the way that they were playing and some of the shots that they were going for or being a little bit more conservative on. But Jennifer Allen ended up taking the stroke back and finishing out in second place. And I mean, I'm super happy for her. These are pretty much her home courses now since she's moved to Arizona. She's got a lot of time on them. Obviously, her distance really works well for her on this. And yeah, not only that, these greens and these fairways are super fast. Like the grass is really short. You're a lot of times these women are throwing it, the hole could be 360 feet and some of them are throwing mid ranges and getting within the circle. That was incredible to me. And they had to do that just to make sure that they weren't skipping out of bounds or skipping in the water.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned that a lot of people say you're just throwing hyzers. Honestly, this is like the ground play Olympics to me. Like, especially on the MPO side, final round, there were so many shots where they're either coming up short and using the ground play to like skid toward the pin, or if they're errant, they're skidding, you know, 30 feet away from the pin. Yeah. And it made a huge difference. The speed of the ground at this tournament, it's probably been like that before, but I think everyone just kind of talks about fountain, you know, and hyzer. But I think the speed there is more of a factor than the shot shape. Like, you have to have a certain shot shape, but the landing zone is just wild.
Yeah, I agree. So it came down to a super exciting finish on hole 17. So hole 17 is pretty short. It's 243 feet, but it's downhill. The basket's elevated. It's on a downslope going toward the water. Most people are throwing a putter or maybe like a flick mid range just to land away from the water. And at this point, I believe they were tied. Or no, at this point, Hannah Blomroos had one stroke on Jennifer Allen, and Hannah ended up going for a putt and rolling out of bounds. And Jennifer Allen had a pretty, I wouldn't say it was difficult in that it was far away from the basket, but she's not super tall, and the basket was, and she had to make a putt just like, you know, with just pure air behind the basket and no backstop, and just trusted it was going to go in. So she took the two and Hannah took the four. And then hole 18 is kind of crazy. You got to throw over the water, probably clear about 250 feet, which they can all do easily. But then once you get over the water, there was a triple mando, kind of, I think they called it the gateway or the gate. And most people, even MPO, were not going for this because it was really hard to get over the water first and then through the gate. So they would kind of lay up short to it. And both of them were able to do that and get their threes. But because of that mistake on hole 17, Jennifer Allen ended up taking the second place, which to her probably felt like a win, honestly, with that crazy battle going on.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of what you have to look at in that situation. It kind of became the battle for a second after a while. So
yeah.
All right. Any other big takeaways from the FPO side?
Yeah, the last one was just Evelina. I mean, she won this event last year. I'm sure there was some pressure coming into this, trying to defend her title. She didn't play poorly. She ended up 7 strokes behind Hannah and 8 strokes behind Jennifer Allen, but she just did seem a little bit shaky on the putting green to me. She ended up with 44% circle 1x putting, which I believe is not too great compared to some of her previous seasons and what we're used to from her. So apparently my dogs want to talk. Sorry.
That's cool. They're very excited about the disc golf.
They're very excited. So that was kind of surprising. I think she'll probably shake the jitters off and we'll see her solid putting later in the season. But yeah, she made a couple. I'm actually looking at her last round. She made 149 footer. It was like a super clutch putt. That was exciting. But other than that, I think she's got to clean up her putting a little bit and we'll see her get in the mix a little bit more.
All right. Speaking of putting, let's shift back over to the MPO side. And, you know, there was this one putt for Calvin Heimberg. It was on hole 5, elevated basket, final round at Vista. He had really kind of struggled early. They might as well be bogeys against the rest of these dudes. 3 pars in the first 4 holes. Was falling behind McMahon. I think Drew Gibson had tied him up at that point, and it kind of seemed like things were getting away from him. And then he hits this uphill, or not uphill, but elevated basket outside the circle putt. And from there, he was off to the races, birdied like 10 holes in a row. Hit some massive putts throughout the week. He hit 29% of his circle 2 putts, but he was second in circle 1 in regulation and first in circle 2 in regulation. So those are huge numbers from Calvin this week, and he just looked really authoritative, really in control. There was only one time where it looked like he might crack, and it was late. I think it was hole 15. He missed a shorty kind of birdie putt. But other than that, I mean, he locked it down the stretch. Did get a little dicey with that weird triple mando on 18. He actually, eagle had gone out of bounds. And you think, all right, Calvin's just going to lay up and he can take this one and cruise it home. And he actually goes like wide, but in line with the Mando. So he was still safe, but then had to like just pitch it to the middle. And so it gave eagle an opening if he could have hit like a 65 footer. Couldn't hit it. Calvin wins. Big tournament. Big excitement. Final round was just lobbing shots back and forth.
It was a nail biter. Yeah,
it was a nail biter. And like, really kind of an interesting tournament to me for eagle. I started watching he was on the feature card at the beginning of the tournament on the live coverage. He comes out hole 1, death putt looking at the water at fountain from like 40 feet, nails it, and you're like, all right, eagle's feeling this.
He
had this groove the whole weekend that I thought it was a no-brainer when he went into the final round that he was going to win this thing. And then just a couple errant shots down the stretch at Vista, a couple misfires. Nothing terrible. A couple maybe more conservative plays than he needed. But ultimately, I think Calvin just outdid him, and he outdid everyone with just some of these mashed drives he was throwing, just these perfect low laser beam like flex lines for like 500 feet. I think he went past the pin on hole 9. It's that one that's like 482 feet, plays a little peninsula, and he takes this like super high line out to the right over the trees, stays away from the water, and it flexes back in late, and he's deep of the basket on a 482 foot hole. And that's Calvin Heimberg. Like, He does it very easily. He doesn't look shaken. He doesn't look emotional. Did you see the meme?
I was just going to ask you that. It was like,
Calvin Heimberg is now a meme. It was the many emotions of Calvin Heimberg, and every emotion was the same very stoic face. And that's what we've come to expect from him. But honestly, that's what you need in this game. That's what you need to be successful in disc golf.
Exactly.
Is this like robotic, laser-like focus. And man, it's almost like I find it humorous too, because people get so like worked up that he's unemotional. And it's like,
well, Chris Dickerson's the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ice in their veins. Yeah. I mean, I don't think
that's what it is.
I mean, I don't know Calvin very well. Like, he's pretty low key. Yeah. He's like that. It's not just disc golf. That's just how he is in real life.
Yeah. He's just chill.
Yeah.
But man, it's cool. We're seeing these really great battles, like to see him, Eagle and Drew all up on the lead card final round is like, this is kind of like what we've been talking about, this next generation. Not to take anything from Paul McBeth, who was also on that final round lead card. We'll talk about him in a second. But Calvin, Eagle, Drew, all closer in age range and experience level. And, you know, these three guys could be the next, you know, we always talk about the Ricky and Paul battle, right? Maybe we're going to be talking about the Calvin and Eagle battle, or the Eagle. I was expecting the Eagle and Drew battle, kind of like last year at Portland and stuff like that. So it's just really cool to see we're going to get these new, like, respectful rivalries coming up against each other. And Calvin got the better of him this time. A couple other big takeaways for me, like watching Drew Gibson in a mixed bag is awesome. And I'm not going to be surprised if Drew Gibson comes out and has a successful season, which he's already very much on the way to. I won't be surprised if we see more people going the mixed bag route, because he's throwing what he wants. He's looked super comfortable, super under control. He's throwing a buzz like 500 feet.
Yep.
On like just over and over and over again, throwing a buzz. But then, you know, throwing a Luna, throwing a Destroyer, throwing a, there was another end of a mold in there that I can't remember now. Throwing a PD2 a lot. So just really interesting to see what he chooses now that he's able to just have at it. And I think that's fun for fans. I think that's fun for just people who are kind of like disc nerds, and you kind of know all these different discs, and you see when a player has a choice what they actually decide to throw. So a lot of fun for everyone to see kind of what Drew was doing, and really solid performance. I thought he was going to stick in it. He kind of lost the putt a little bit, a couple unfortunate holes, rallied back with like three big birdies. If he starts to clean up the putt, which he hit a few outside the circle putts on those elevated baskets that I was really impressed by, but then just a few misfires left and right down the stretch. And, you know, that's always kind of been the thing for Drew, is he can throw on an elite level, but the putter hasn't always been there. If he can dial that in a little bit more, you know, circle two, actually, he was eighth place in circle two putts, 38%, but so circle one X putts, 77%. If he can clean that up, I think we're going to see a lot more big things for him this season, especially as he gets more of a comfort level with the new stuff. And then something I'm going to watch out for between this tournament and Waco is, it sounds like the injuries are kind of already a thing in 2020. They were everywhere in 2019, and 2020 is back. So on the live coverage, they were talking about Nate Sexton possibly hurting himself. And that sounded like it carried over from Vegas, like an oblique thing. You know, and again, obviously none of these guys have dropped, and so they're fine to play through it. But that was one. Ricky Wysocki had his knee flare up. He said it wasn't related to Lime. He said it was his knee. We'll see on that one. And then obviously, like, I think we can watch Paul McBeth and say right now that he is not 100%. You can tell on certain shots, those like backhand full power Anheuser power flex shots. That said, I don't think we need to panic about Paul McBeth yet, because, you know, looking at like there were a couple times I've heard it, a few different commentators mention over the last few weeks, they want to see UDisc or someone integrate like a bogey recovery stat. And this is something that we kind of used to look at a little bit when I was over at Ulti World Disc Golf, as we had one guy who would go deep on some of like the advanced stats. And so basically like a bogey recovery would be like, you have a bogey, what do you do on your next hole? Do you par or do you birdie? So like par would be bogey recovery and birdie would be bogey recovery plus in this scenario. Hopefully UDisc, I'm sure they can roll something out like this eventually, because I think it would just give us some more insights. But the nice part is these guys don't bogey that often, so you can go look at it pretty easily. Paul McBeth bogeyed four times throughout the week. Two of those were doubles, so that's your number one issue. You have those two doubles makes a big difference. But in three out of his four bogeys, he came back with a birdie right afterward. And then a couple of those were, one of those was consecutive birdies. So I'm not too worried about him. He's able to shake off the difficulties, you know, they were just, but man, round three, he did look a little shaky. Big time shank shot out of bounds on hole two, missed putt afterwards. Some real big misfires. It just looks like the accuracy isn't quite there off the tee for the power shots right now. And hopefully he'll get it back. He was posting on social media that he was back in the boot, but it was only because he couldn't fit it in his suitcase.
And he could possibly get upgraded to first class. That happened to me while I was wearing a boot one time.
Yeah, just... right? You're trying to get that, trying to get those, at the very least, early boarding.
Yes.
Right? So,
wait, speaking of injuries too, Steve Brinster and Dave Feldberg both dropped out.
Were they injured though? I don't know.
Yes, Brinster got on to the coverage momentarily during, I think maybe after round three, and he, okay. I think it was a back flare up.
He's been battling a back injury for a long time.
And I can't remember what Feldberg's issue was, but.
Hopefully it wasn't the neck. That was his big surgery a couple years ago. So, I mean, it's, you know, early in the year, you go out and you throw four rounds. It's tough, man, especially for some of these guys who travel in. I haven't caught up with him. I don't know how AJ Risley is on the injury front, but I know he also didn't make the cut the last couple weeks, so hopefully he'll be able to rebound. Madison Walker, I don't think she made the cut either for the finals. So, I mean, some of these people who are still coming back from injuries last year are taking a little bit to get in the groove. You saw Paul Ulibarri took a little bit on the coverage the first round. I'm sure maybe there was some nerves involved in that as well, but you know, it's just goes to show these are humans and they have woes just like the rest of us, and hopefully they'll be okay and
except for Calvin
and get on the mend. Except for Calvin
and Paige Pierce. They're both robots.
Calvin and Paige Pierce are disc golf robots sent to destroy you. So we will not have any picks that we're gonna do this week, Sarah. But if listeners want to send in their picks now for the Waco Annual Charity Open, that is the next tournament we'll be doing picks for. You can send those to radio@pdga.com. And Sarah, since I know you love to recap the picks for everybody.
I do when I'm winning.
Why don't you tell the listeners who's winning right
now? I have not been enjoying recapping the picks for the past few weeks, including this week, but I will do it anyway. All right, last week, you chose Paige Pierce to win. I chose Katrina Allen. The listeners also chose Paige Pierce. So y'all
good job,
got
listeners.
2 points each. I got zero. You chose Eagle to win. I chose McBeth. The listeners chose Eagle.
No points for anybody. No, yes. No Calvins. All
top
right.
Five, FPO. You chose Jennifer Allen. I chose Evelina. Boom. Listeners chose Evelina. So we all got 1 point for that. And then MPO top five, you chose Kevin Jones. Where did Kevin Jones finish?
Let's not talk about it.
Okay, okay. I chose Ricky.
He was tied for 33rd. He struggled.
Okay, I chose Wysocki, and the listeners chose McBeth. That leaves us.
Good job, listeners.
Yeah, you have 11 points. I have 5, and listeners have 6.
Yeah, that was the best listener week yet.
That was very good. Yeah, they got 4 points this week.
All right, listeners, nicely done, listeners. Again, send us your picks, radio@pdj.com. This will be for the Waco Annual Charity Open. So go ahead, get an eyeball on the registration list for that now. All right, Sarah, let's take a break. When we come back, we will chat a little bit about the PDGA Women's Global event. So we will be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio.
I don't know if it is true or not, but I kind of think that this might be the hottest hot rounds we've ever had for the FPO division.
Well, Paige Pierce did throw four rounds over 1,000.
She did. But then there's start. Okay, let me just say.
I just looked at him. The lowest.
I'm getting to it. Yeah. I'm getting to it. All right. The fifth hottest rated round of the weekend was a 993. Man, so that's terrible. The fifth hottest rated round is so bad. That's incredible. A 993, man. Okay, but that was Hannah Blomroos, and just to say, so all of these were from the Memorial, and most of these women would have made the hot rounds list more than once, so this is just their hottest round of the event. So Hannah shot the 993, her third round to take third place. Rebecca Cox, who I made the statement earlier this season saying that she was on the upswing, and then she's going to have a big win in her future, so here she is doing good things, shooting a 997, her second round. She ended up tied for seventh. Katrina Allen shot a 1003, her third round, ended up in fifth. Evelina also shot a 1003, her third round, ended up in fourth. Jennifer Allen with a 1018, her second round, ending up in second place. And then Paige Pierce, 1057, her third round, finishing in first place.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Over on the MPO side, a lot of these did come from the Memorial as well. However, our fifth hottest rated round comes from Germany. And I'm going to do my best Sarah impression here and not be able to pronounce this player's name. Fabian Kaun with a 1076 rated third round. This was at the season opening Plein im Hayward Park. I guarantee you, there's a German listener out there. Please feel free to email me and skewer me. Either way, 1076 from a 982 rated player for the fifth hottest rated round of the week is pretty awesome. So nicely done, Fabian. Mr. Jeremy Colin, you know him. You love him. He shot a 1077 out at the Memorial. I'm guessing, yeah, that was his third round. I believe he aced that round. That was his... and he came in seventh place. Garrett Gerthy and Drew Gibson also shot 1077s that round. Pretty wild. Double G came in sixth place. Our good friend Andrew Fish out at the odds number one Loriella Challenge Pro. I'm guessing if this is Loriella, that was in Virginia, right? That's where Loriella, Spotsylvania. That's where the U.S. Women's was.
Yes.
Fish shot a 1079 rated second round to win that tournament. Second highest rated round of his career. Nicely done. Let's see who we got next. There's so many. Another 1082. No, I'm sorry. One, two, three. Three 1082s. These are from Emerson Keith, Eagle McMahon, and Drew Gibson out at the Memorial. These were all their opening rounds. Emerson Keith ended up tying for 11th place. Drew Gibson tied for 4th with Vina Makula. And then we know Eagle took the runner-up slot. And three 1092s were the hottest rated rounds from Vina Makula, Calvin Heimberg, and Paul McBeth out at the Memorial Championship. Those were all, I want to say that was their opening rounds. I thought that was their final rounds. Oh my goodness. So many hot rounds. It's just crazy out at the Memorial. So those were the hot rounds from the Memorial. And we will see what is in store for this coming weekend's hot rounds. I'm wondering, Sarah, if any of them will come from this event in Mexico. We got a listener email from a listener named Javier Cruz. And he let us know that for the first time in a long time, and granted, I did not have a chance to go and fact check this, so I'm sorry. I'll try and do that between now and next show. But two residents of Mexico will be coming across the border to play a tournament in Texas. They're playing in Brownsville, Texas at the second annual Spring Break the Chains. Javier said he is trying to qualify for Am Worlds this year. Awesome. They've got some other local tournaments and stuff. So we wanted to give Javier a shout out. Good luck this weekend over in Texas. That's pretty cool. Always love to see, the international growth and like Mexico. I know there's not a lot of disc golf over there right now, but there are people like Javier who are trying to help it get that way. So good luck over in Texas this weekend, Javier. We will be rooting for you. And you know what? Maybe we'll give a special Javier hot round next week. Even if he's not on the hot rounds, we'll just shout out his
highest round.
Yeah, of the weekend. Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, Sarah, coming up May 9th, PDGA Women's Global Event is back. We're making our big push, our big announcements this week. Everything that you need to know about the Women's Global Event is over at pdga.com/WGE. Right now we are at 45 registered Women's Global Events. We are trying to get that much higher, kind of like to 150 or so tournaments.
Oh, wow.
And it's early. It's early. We can do it. So basically, if you're a TD and you're running a tournament on May 9th, it can be a women's only event. It can be a mixed event. You can still have your women's divisions count toward the WGE. So my suggestion would be, even if you're not going to host just a straight up WGE only event, but you are going to have some women there, throw your hat in the mix. Add WGE to your tournament when you sanction it. That's a way to help boost the numbers. And look, this is just an awesome event. It happens every 2 years. And last time there were almost 2,100 women competing. I think the women's committee this year is aiming for 3,000.
Woo!
Think we can do it, Sarah?
I think so. Yeah. I was just going to say, even if you're not running an event, this is one of those things. I don't want to just, you know, as a TD, you don't ever just throw an event together because they obviously take a ton of planning and time and volunteers and things like that. But it is something that you could probably do with not a whole lot of planning, especially.
Could you run like a 1 day C tier? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if it's a charity tournament, you can get your sanctioning fees, not your sanctioning fees, you can get your PDGA fees waived. So at the end of the event, you don't have to pay all the fees that come out of the player fees if it benefits a charity. So you can work it that way as well. And, you know, as a C tier and just being in the mix for the Women's Global across the world, it's not, I wouldn't say it's all about getting like a great players pack or necessarily a huge trophy or tons of money, things like that. It's just really special to be part of this event that's happening all across the world. So don't think that if you run a tournament, you have to put a ton of added cash or have great trophies or anything like that. Just, you know, people will appreciate you and play the event if you just show the, you know, the time and the energy and put it together.
Absolutely correct. However, I am glad that you mentioned the players pack because yes. New for 2020, there is a specific Women's Global Event players pack that you can, that TDs can purchase over at the official PDGA store, which is pdgastore.com. It's going to have three discs, a WGE stamped Dynamic Disc Judge, a WGE stamped Innova Disc Mamba. I might buy this player's pack.
Yeah, they're just doing the work for you. I mean, there you go. There's your player's pack.
Those are two good discs.
Yeah.
A PDGA Stork stamped Latitude 64 compass. You get a disc golf pin, a canvas bag, towel, Discraft coupon, all kinds of other stuff. And like, depending on quantity discounts, like the players packs are as low as $18.
Wow.
For TDs to buy. So we're trying to make a push for that. Hopefully some TDs who are listening will see this or hear this, get involved and, you know, get in on the fun of the Women's Global Event. And like you were saying, Sarah, the cool thing is like, you know, having all the women competing on the big like global leaderboard is just super cool. You know, you can see how you stack up not only against people in your town on your course, but everywhere. And that's just, it's really unique and it kind of brings the whole, you know, a lot of camaraderie together for women in the sport. So I hope it's a big success. I'm sure it is going to be a big success and you're going to hear us talk about it a lot on PDJ Radio over the next few months, because we want to make sure that you know it's happening and that you will hopefully participate. So again, learn more at pdga.com/WGE, or if you just want to find the closest Women's Global Event to you, pdga.com/findmyWGE, and it'll give you all the Women's Global Events that there are right now. And hopefully that list is going to continue to grow. I know, Sarah, we talked last week, you may not be playing a Women's Global Event, but
I'll be involved in some way.
I'll either figure it out.
Yeah, I'll either sponsor or play or volunteer. Not sure at this point.
And by the way, sponsors, I'm glad you mentioned that. You're doing a great job of teeing me up for this.
Feeding you all the content.
Yeah, you are. No, this is perfect. All the segues. We do have some fantastic sponsors for the event already. Our gold sponsors are Prodigy, Disc, Innova, ThrowPink, and DG Nomad. And then our platinum sponsor, which means they're throwing out all the good stuff, is Zooka. So thank you to all the sponsors. And if you do still want to sponsor the Women's Global event, there are opportunities available.
You just fed me the best segue. You mentioned,
go for it.
You mentioned ThrowPink and Zooka. So yep. Segueing to kind of putting in a plug for my event, it is not linked to the Women's Global specifically because it's a doubles event.
Different weekend.
Yes, yeah. And a different weekend. So my ladies and gents mixed doubles events in the seventh year. It's happening April 18th in Columbia, South Carolina at Earlwood Park. And I'm always looking for creative ways to raise more money for the South Carolina Cancer Alliance. And this year I've decided to do an online raffle. So Zooka is one of our biggest sponsors, as is ThrowPink. And they are actually giving me kind of a buy one, get one deal on Zooka carts. So one of which I'll be raffling at the tournament itself. And the other one I'm going to raffle online. So I'm actually working on building the webpage on my website right now. But if you go to ladiesandgentsdoubles.com, there will be a link on the homepage to the Zooka cart raffle, and you'll be able to buy tickets online. Your name will go into a big spreadsheet. Obviously, if you buy three tickets, your name will be on the spreadsheet three times, for instance. And then I'll do a big randomizer, and the winner will receive a Zooka cart.
Nice.
Yeah. So hoping to raise as much money as possible. So I'll do another plug, and obviously I'll post it all over social media. But I'm hoping to draw the winner in mid-March.
So, hey, speaking of social media, Sarah, I got a pull-up bar now. Do I need to start going up against you in the pull-up bars?
You do. How many can you do straight?
Like pull or chin?
Pull-ups.
Either way, it's like five.
Okay, you got me then. Well, chin-ups are easier.
Chin-ups are way easier.
Yeah, I can do three strict pull-ups at this point.
Okay.
I'm not sure about I haven't done chin-ups on my bar, but probably about five as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe we should do a pull-up challenge.
Oh man, that's just what
I'm flexing. You can't see, all you listeners. I'm intimidating. Well,
you keep doing stuff like this. We're gonna put this thing on video, Sarah. anyway, speaking one last thing, I want to say a big thank you to listeners. This show's been going for a couple years now, and we've had a little bit of a bump in our listener numbers the last couple episodes. So thank you to everyone who is maybe a new listener. Thank you to everyone who's been a longtime listener and has shared it with your friends. We appreciate it. Like we put a lot of love and energy into this show. And, it means a lot to us that you help it continue growing. So if you want to keep doing that, make sure you subscribe at your favorite podcast app. Share it with a friend or two or five or 12. And obviously, send us your feedback to radio@pdga.com. Sarah, I think that's it. You gave your plug already for the week.
That's it. I have no more plugs.
One plug only. No, I'm just kidding. circling back to the top of the show, please, if you can, help out Sarah's local area. Check in the description. We'll have some links for where to donate. I'm glad you and Sean are okay. And let us know if there's anything else we can do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. That was PDJ Radio. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you next week.